live from our studios in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Fox Sports Spartanburg presents Start Your Engines. Here is your race team for today. Show producer Ronnie Black, author and National Press Association Hall of Fame journalist Deb Williams, former NASCAR team manager and author Greg Moore, and with our special guests, here is your host for Start Your Engines, racing historian and author Perry Allen Wood.
And good morning and welcome to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg on a kind of a damp out there Saturday morning, but it's damp because of all the rain yesterday. It's a beautiful day, it looks like.
Yeah, and I missed it because I was in Seneca and we didn't get a drop there, and no storm or anything.
Well, we had a 15-minute storm come through Spartanburg. Well, at my house, it was 15 minutes, but it knocked the power out for 4 hours.
And that is not fun.
Well, I had just got through cutting the grass, and I went to I took a shower, got out of the shower, and just as I got dried off and ready to go look for something to eat, power went off. It's 5:30. Mm. And I said, okay, well, it'll be on by the time I get back, maybe. But it wasn't.
But you made a pretty good investment a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, I got me a $1,000 Costco generator made by Furman, F-I-R-M-A-N. And, man, that thing is. And it was a $100 rebate, so it didn't cost me but $900. Alan Hill got me somebody to come out there and wire it up to the house. And, man, I tell you what, it's a lifesaver. And I've got it down pat now. Because you got a checklist you got to go through when you use it, turning stuff off in the house and the breakers and all that stuff. And if you don't do it, you'll blow everything up. So I got it down pat, and I can do it in less than a minute now. And if you don't have a generator, it is one investment I would suggest, because it's very convenient to have electricity when the rest of the neighborhood's black. Dark. So anyway, welcome to Start Your Engines. We've got a good show for you this morning, I think, with our guest at 11 o'clock is a Spartanburg native and former Budmore crew chief. He was also with the Wood Brothers and some other teams, I guess, but it's Donnie Wingo. We had Donnie on last year, and he's a real good guest and knows a lot about the local. He knows a lot about everything in racing, but it was a real good interview with him last year, and I said, well, what the heck, let's do him again. So we'll have Donnie on at 11 o'clock. Of course, Deb Williams will be on at 10:20, and we're going to talk to Mike Hill again, like we do just about every week.
But it's always fun to talk to Mike.
Well, but he's got a race today at 4 o'clock, the IMSA race out at Long Beach, the Acura Grand Prix, and for the third straight race, the Wheeling Cadillacs on the pole.
Cool.
With Pipo Durrani. He won the pole at Daytona. He won the pole at Sebring, but wound up upside down.
Yeah.
And this is the first race since that. So he won the pole last night or yesterday afternoon at Long Beach. So we look forward to seeing him. And, you know, I don't know what the deal is, Ronnie, but got a runny nose.
Oh, mine's been terrible this week.
I don't know what it is, man.
It's got to be the allergies. Pollen is crazy out there.
Yeah, my car is a different color than it's supposed to be. I think I washed it twice this past week. But, I don't know what it is. I know it's been running a lot. You mentioned something a few minutes ago, Ronnie. The Xfinity race last week. Man, that was something, wasn't it?
It was.
I've never seen a closer finish.
Never, because usually when they show the old classic photo finish, you can easily tell who won.
Yeah.
But this time I couldn't.
Well, I could when they stopped it, you know, when they slowed it down, but I didn't have a clue when it was happening. And it was, they say, the second closest finish in history. I was wondering what the closest one was, and, you know, I come on Tyler's show on Monday mornings and talk about it, and he was actually, I think he looked it up while we were discussing it, and actually it was a Buckshot Jones win, if he was telling me correctly, from the old Milwaukee Mile, which actually they're it's old, but they're racing on it again now. Anyway, and I remembered that race. I didn't remember it being that close as the closest finish ever, but it was, gosh, Buckshot, when was he racing? Like the late 90s? Had to be late 90s, early 1000s, something like that. But, yeah, that was a heck of a finish. Not that great for Jeremy. He didn't hit anything like he did a couple of times the week before, or things hit him. But he actually had another so-so race, and we'll really be hoping for him today, because Talladega is one of those tracks, and we've talked about it over and over, but I mean, anybody can win there. There's so many drivers got their first win at Talladega, and it could happen again today, but of course we want Jeremy to have a good finish. He's hanging around. I think he's about 57 points out of the playoffs right now, and every week it gets a little further away, so he can take care of a lot of that with a really good finish, and hopefully he'll have one today. Any idea what the weather's like down there?
At Talladega?
Yeah.
No, but I'll find out real quick.
Give me a weather report, because every time I look at the Weather Channel, it's something coming across from Texas, and it's usually not good. So hopefully we will be able to get everything in. It looked pretty good out at Long Beach. That's
right this minute, it's 67 and cloudy.
What's it going to be about 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, it says 74 and cloudy.
All right. Well, they can write, clouds won't hurt them. Unless it's real cloudy, like fog or something. But well, that'll be good. We
Later tonight they're supposed to get rain.
Well, that's okay. It can rain right up till tomorrow afternoon for all I care. You know, this is amazing to me. Go ahead.
80% rain tomorrow.
That's not good.
No.
And I've been to Talladega when it rained, and it's a long way to be from home when you know they're not going to race. Talladega is exactly 300 miles from my driveway, on the button, the tunnel going into the infield. Well, you know what I did last night when the power was out? I'm sitting there on the couch. Actually, I was playing with my phone, and I said, well, you know, this is really hurting me doing all my homework for the show, printing all these reams of paper. Excuse me. And
me too.
And I knew I could do this. I haven't done it before. Hannah set it up on my phone because she did it all the time. But that's printing something and off your phone and sending it to the printer.
Yeah.
I've never done that before. Last night, I did this whole stack of papers from my phone, and it was amazing. It was just like, let me see if this will work. And I found the things I wanted to print, and I hit, you know, send to printer or whatever it is, and send it over there, and I'd be dadgum. All the way across the room, I could hear it printing it out for me. So the only thing it did, and I guess I needed to push some sort of buttons, because I don't waste a lot of ink. I usually print in black and white. But it made two-sided copies. So a lot of this stuff is on both sides. And
I'm okay.
Saves paper, but not what I'm used to doing. So anyway, you remember the IROC series?
Oh, yeah, I used to love to watch that.
Well, it's coming back.
Good.
Sort of.
And now, if I remember correctly, in the old IROCs, they were cars that actually looked like Camaros.
Well, yeah. I remember when it first started. I don't know what year that was. I think it was about 74.
Sounds about right.
But they used Porsches.
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, the first cars they used were Porsche 911s, I think. And then I don't know what order they went in. But after Porsche, I know they had Camaros for a while. In fact, the only IROC race I ever saw was Atlanta. And they were running Camaros. But what was that little Dodge they used to have? They had it wasn't a Challenger, it was something else. Whatever it was, they don't make them anymore. But they used those for a while. But what this is, Ronnie, they're going to, on July 19th and 20th, a company called IROC Holdings, LLC, which is a bunch of people, and I think Ray Evernham is one of them.
A bunch of people's got a lot more money than we do.
And cars. And if you've got an old IROC car, and evidently there's a whole bunch of them out there, people, you know, collectors have them and things like that, you can bring it and let somebody race it, unless, I guess, you're a race driver. But it's, from what I was reading about it, they haven't announced any of the drivers, but they said they had Formula One champions and Indianapolis 500 winners and Daytona 500 winners and all that stuff that are going to drive them, but they didn't name a single one. And I just, I think it's going to be more of an exhibition than it is a competition, because I just can't see them tearing up a 30-year-old race car that's probably worth a whole lot more than it was now than when it was built.
Absolutely.
So they're going to run them at Lime Rock, and that's in Connecticut, and that's on July 19th and 20th. So stay tuned for that. I don't know any broadcast information or anything, so we'll find that out. And not a whole lot of news. NASCAR is launching the Alumni Network. And that's not for race drivers that went to college. It's for race drivers that that used to be race drivers. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's going to be a network of some sort. I don't know if it's a syndicated thing. I didn't print the whole thing out, but it's called the NASCAR Alumni Network, and it was it's supposed to keep the sport through the drivers sitting around telling stories, which actually I love. In fact, that's what we do on this show all the time, is get somebody on each week to tell stories like Mike Hill and Donnie Wingo will do today, and even Deb. So we'll see how that turns out. It's going to start, doesn't say. It doesn't say, but it's coming.
It's coming soon.
It's coming to a TV screen near you. And the other news, Bubba and Amanda are going to have a baby. That's Bubba Wallace.
Okay.
And his wife, Amanda, they're going to have a baby in October. So a lot of big racing news there, boy. I'm glad we got all that taken care of. And, you know, I didn't know if we were going to have a show this morning, Ronnie, because I listened to a little bit of Clara yesterday doing an upstate game. And you know what? I've been meaning to say this, but I think it's pretty cool having upstate baseball on the radio.
I think it's great.
And they've been, they're good. I don't know. I think they won yesterday, and of course the playoffs are coming up pretty soon, the regionals and all that stuff, and the conference championships. But upstate's good. I'm not mistaken, they're in first place. And but Clary does a good job on that. Enjoyed. I've listened to him a couple of times, and of course they got somebody in the studio. I think it was Joe yesterday, but it's good. They do a good job, and I'm glad we've got upstate baseball on the air. Of course, we had basketball during the winter, and so I didn't mention it a couple of weeks ago when they beat Clemson, Ronnie, but it didn't seem to matter. Clemson's still in second place. They might have dropped the third for a week. I don't know. They might still be in third, but I don't think Clemson's got too much to worry about. They're looking real good.
And they're getting one of their strongest pitchers back.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
and I can't remember details. I just overheard it.
South Carolina, I tell you what, you don't know what you're going to get. They had the number three team in there last night, Arkansas. I watched a bit of it. In fact, I watched a lot of it. Because the whole game was, they took the lead at 1-0 and immediately gave it back in the bottom of the inning, or the top of the inning, the next inning, I guess, and it was 2-1. And it stayed that way all the way to the end of the game. And they were looked like going to go out with a whimper in the bottom of the ninth with two outs and nobody on. And they got a guy hit a double, a pinch hitter, the last chance guy hit a double, and then they intentionally walked the next guy. And all they needed was, they had a winning run on first base, and all they needed was a lousy hit to tie the game anyway. They couldn't do it, so anyway, I think they play again. I don't know if that's going to be on the radio here or not. I would imagine we'll have upstate again this afternoon. But anyway, I just think it's great that we have local baseball. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen when we get our own team. So that might be something else that's in our future. I have no idea, but I would think. I remember when the Spartanburg Phillies used to be on, and I listened to them religiously.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I was a little boy.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. And we didn't do a lot of activities like that when I was a kid. I grew up on a mill village, you know, parents scraping by. But we always were able to go to two or three games.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Over at Duncan Park.
I loved it.
And this past week, Daredevil and I went to Rockers uh-huh. on Wednesday.
Yep.
And I was sitting there looking at the big garage door
mm-hmm.
and realized that when they get it finished from sitting there on the porch at Rockers, you can see the stadium.
Well, it's going to be great.
I think it is.
I can't wait. I don't know how much season tickets are, but I mean, I can't think of a better way to spend a hot summer afternoon than going to a baseball game downtown and stuff like that. And I think it's going to be really good. We can probably, if we play our cards right, get in the suite that I'm sure this radio station will get, don't you reckon?
You I hope so.
All right. Anyway, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk to Deb Williams. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Start Your Engines will be back after this quick pit stop on Fox Sports 1498.3 FM.
Have you been in a car or motorcycle wreck or an accident involving an 18-wheeler? Have you been injured in a workplace accident? If any of these things happen to you, you need to call the Carolina Law Group today. The Carolina Law Group isn't afraid of the big insurance companies, and they will fight for you. Call today to speak with an attorney for a free consultation. In Spartanburg and Greer, call 757-5555. And in Greenville, call 312-4444. The Carolina Law Group attorneys are your local injury lawyers with four convenient locations to serve you in Spartanburg, Greenville, and Greer. Visit them online today at thecarolinalawgroup.com.
You already know Palmetto Spirits is the place to go for wine, fine bourbons, and home bar essentials. But Palmetto Spirits is also the perfect place to pick up your favorite local craft brews like RJ Rockers, crowd-pleasing Budweiser brands, and world-famous imports like Stella Artois, Modelo, and Corona. Whether you're in search of the ideal wine pairing or the ideal gift, Jim and the staff at Palmetto Spirits will get it in your hands. Palmetto Spirits, located at the corner of Reedville and Anderson Mill Roads.
Spartanburg, when you're looking for the home of the best sports coverage around,
we're talking about greatest ever spectacular talent.
Good news, you're already there. It's us, Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3 FM. We're your home for the Spartanburg Vikings, the Atlanta Braves, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and Duke basketball. Plus, your most trusted source for the best high school coverage around. This is Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3 FM.
Make Phillips and Long Fuel Chesney your source for propane in Spartanburg County. They offer propane for hot water heaters, cooking, and heat. They can fill your grill tank and get you ready for grilling season. Not only do they sell propane, but they sell a large variety of propane accessories such as grill tanks and other appliances that run on propane. If your propane tank is running low, call and they'll have it filled within one business day. Call them at 864-461-8511. That's Phillips and Long Fuel, located at 421 South Alabama Avenue in Chesney.
Need a photo printed from your phone? How about a restoration of an old photo? Prints from old slides or negatives? Spartan Photo Center can do that and more in their on-site custom photo lab. Spartan Photo Center can develop 35mm film and disposable cameras. They can print large size stretch canvas or poster prints in sizes from locket size to 40 by 60 inches. As South Carolina's only full-service camera store, they can help you get those old photos off your phone or out of that old film or digital camera. Spartan Photo Center. Call them at 864-583-6835 or visit SpartanPhotoCenter.com today.
Image Printing is the only shop in the upstate that prints signage, decals, banners, t-shirts, wide format printing, full color paper printing, and offers graphic design services all in-house. And now Image Printing is offering custom t-shirts with no minimum quantity. That's right. Image Printing now offers direct to garment printing, which means you can get your design printed on a t-shirt, whether you want one or 1,000. Visit Image Printing at 845 California Ave, across the street from the Spartanburg County Detention Center. Call 864-583-8848.
Williams is trackside and ready to go. What's going on at this week's big race? Now let's go live to Depp.
Good morning, Deb. How are you? I know you're not trackside, but you're at our side.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, we're going to be starting Talladega qualifying in about 6 minutes.
Oh, okay. Great. How's the weather look down there?
Well, I was listening to Sirius a little bit earlier, and they didn't say anything about it looking bad, so I think we're okay for today.
Okay, well, good.
They did say that they thought the rain would move out before race time tomorrow.
All right, because Ronnie looked it up and said it looked pretty iffy, but that's great. It's like a 3 o'clock start or something, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good. Looking forward to some racing. In fact, got quite a bit today with ARCA is at 12:30, and the Xfinity race, I believe, is at 3:30 or 4. I've got it here someplace. And then out at Long Beach, they've got the IMSA cars, which we love here, with especially the Whelen Cadillac, and they race at 4 o'clock for a their races are 100 minutes long, an hour and 40 minutes. So, or not all of them, unless it's a 24-hour or a 12-hour or something. But, yeah, they get them done pretty quickly. So, looking forward to some good racing today, and had some real good racing last weekend, I thought. That we were just talking about that Xfinity race. I mean, that was close.
That Xfinity race was great. I hated it. For Ryan Sieg, I would have loved to have seen him gotten his first Xfinity win, but the finish of it was unbelievable. It was a really good race.
Yeah, and I was like you. In fact, I think we texted after that race was over that I was pulling for. We were pulling for the same guy, you know, that had never won one before. But that's just the way it goes. Another not so great race for Jeremy. So. We got to get him. We got to get him moving here at Talladega. But otherwise, the Cup race. I finally picked the winner. I mean, if you keep picking Chase Elliott long enough, I guess he's bound to win one. But you know, I thought he was pretty. I wouldn't say emotional, but he was very pensive, and in my opinion, and you know, kind of nostalgic with the Alan Kulwicki references. Of course, he was driving a Hooters car, and he didn't do a burnout, which I loved, and I thought he was very contrite, and I liked his persona after the race.
I saw a passion and an aggressiveness in Chase last week that I've not seen in a long time, and I did write a column about it for Auto Week. Following up how Chase handles adversity the way his dad did, in that he withdraws to where he focuses strictly on the race car and the race team, and if nothing else is going to help him in his performance, he shuts it out. And, you know, I thought what was so neat about the Kulwicki tie-in with Hooters and all is when Alan beat Chase's dad, Bill Elliott, for the championship in 1992. Chase's parents weren't married yet. Mm. They actually got married about a week after the awards banquet at the Waldorf Astoria that year. But Alan always kept a comb in his car to where he would take his helmet off and comb his hair before he'd get out so the hair would look good for the TV cameras and photographers and all. And so at the awards banquet that year, Bill gave Alan a large comb on stage. And, you know, just to see Chase celebrate like Alan and to honor someone he never knew, and it kind of tied the Kulwicki Elliott full circle. And you know, I was, every time they do a burnout, I just think of how much of the engine it's destroying. So I'm like my dad there. I don't care for the burnouts, because to me, you're just destroying equipment that doesn't need to be destroyed. There's another way to celebrate. But, I saw more emotion out of Chase last week after that win than I've seen from him in quite some time.
Well, I really think the quenching of this drought that Chase has had recently,
mm-hmm.
I think looking back, you know, he had such success so early. And you got to think he's sitting there thinking, they told me this was going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on win, and now the drought comes and reality sets in.
Well, and a lot of that had to do with getting hurt on the snowboard, and then after he got back, he got suspended pretty quickly for wrecking Hamlin in the 600. So, he's had a lot of some of it self-inflicted, but he just went through a bad spell there, and I think he realized it's like, speaking of not doing burnouts, it reminds me of when Terry Labonte, a lot like when Terry Labonte won his last race, which was the same as his first race, it was the Southern 500, and he didn't do a burnout. And I know they asked him about that in a victory lane. He said, well, I don't do burnouts. And then somebody else asked him, or I guess it's the same person, whoever it was, somebody asked him, do you ever get to the point where you don't think you'll ever win another race? And he was like, yeah, you do. So I think maybe a lot of that came around for Chase Elliott last week to realize that, you know, it's not, nothing's guaranteed.
Well, the thing is, Chase has been around racing his entire life. Rick Hendrick, Alan Gustafson, they've all been around racing most of their life. And like I said, Chase has been around it his entire life. He understands the peaks and valleys. He understands the ebbs and flow. He knew he was having issues with this current car that he needed to work out. He needed to change maybe some of his driving style. But Rick Hendrick never lost faith in Chase. Alan Gustafson never lost faith in Chase. You know, Chase never lost it in himself, but they didn't lose their belief in each other. And people want quick fixes nowadays.
Yeah.
People want instant gratification. Well, you cannot survive in racing with that, because I had a veteran reporter that actually started out from in the Spartanburg area. Frank Vihorn told me one time.
I remember Frank.
When I first started covering this sport, he told me, he said, you have got to learn to go with the flow. He said, if you don't, you will never make it in this business. And Kathy Venturini and I were just talking about that a few days ago, and she agreed. And you learn to handle life differently in racing, because there is nothing but peaks and valleys in it. There is no middle ground. And, you know, the thing that benefited Chase, and actually Jeff Andrews and Jeff Gordon took Chase aside during the off season to have a heart-to-heart with him and make sure he was in a good place psychologically. And he was. And so, you know, they just kept their head down. They worked together and shut the outside world out and didn't let it. You know, there was, I don't know if he's still off of it, but Chase went off social media for a while.
Hmm.
And he may still be off of it. And, you know, it's just one of those necessary evils that a lot of the drivers let their PR people handle. They don't do it themselves. They don't even look at it. So, you know, they knew what had to be done. They all understand racing, and they never lost their belief in each other. And as Chase said afterwards, you know, one thing that made it so good was the fact that he and that team climbed back up together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very satisfying. So, you know, you just can't fix something instantly in this sport. You know, you just don't panic and say, oh, well, let's switch crew chiefs, or let's do this, or let's do that. Now, they did make some minor changes in the team. I think they changed maybe some engineers. I think the primary change was they changed spotters. And Eddie DeHunt is no longer Chase's spotter. He's now Josh Berry's spotter. And Chase brought in his cousin, Trey Poole. And they raced legend cars together when they were children. And he's got family up there spotting for him now. And his cousin actually was a spotter for him. He was another spotter on the road course races, and he filled in when Eddie wasn't there for a few times back a few years ago. So, you know, they made some of those changes. But, you know, the thing was, they knew what had to be done. They never lost their trust or belief in each other, and I'm talking about Gustafson and Chase. And Chase would always take up for Allen. If somebody in the media tried to throw Allen under the bus during a Q&A, question and answer session in the media center, Chase always stood up for Gustafson. And, you know, they didn't have to have a milk and cookies meeting like Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson did. They were on the same page. And, you know, Rick Hendrick knew they belonged together. And when you look at their age, Allen is almost twice Chase's age.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So there's a, I say almost twice. He's, you know, Chase will be, I think, 29 this year, and his birthday in November, and Gustafson's in his 40s.
Okay.
So he has an experience there that Chase knows he can learn for. It's kind of like when we were having media availability with Austin Hill and Jesse Love the other day at the NASCAR Productions facility. And Jesse Love said, Austin Hill, he said, Austin has been 19, which is, Austin Hill is 30 and the father of three, and Jesse is 19. And Jesse said, you know, I've never been 30, but Austin has been 19.
Huh. Well, I knew that team was too good to keep down forever, and I've always been a Chase fan, which a lot of people aren't. My son can't stand him, but he couldn't stand Logano for a long time, and now he heard him on some podcast or something. He's become a Logano fan, so you can change. But I tell you who had a rough finish last week, battling for the lead with a half a lap to go and ending up 31st, was Ross Chastain.
He did, and, you know, that was strictly a racing incident.
Yep.
He pulled up to block William Byron, and William Byron had such a big run, there wasn't anything he could do. And, you know, as William said, I didn't want to hit him. He said, we always race well together, but it was just a racing incident, and those are going to happen. And I hated it as well. But, you know, I know it sounds trite, but that's racing, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But along that line, when you talk about Ross pulling up in front to block Byron, I thought it was really interesting when we were talking with Austin Hill and Jesse Love on Tuesday, and someone asked Austin how racing was different at Talladega from Atlanta and Daytona. And he said that the track is so wide at Talladega that it makes blocking more difficult than at Daytona and Atlanta. He said, you know, at Daytona and Atlanta, he said, I can pull down and block the low lane, and then after I've blocked it and taken their momentum, I've got enough time to pull back up and block the outside lane. But he said the track is so much wider at Talladega that it's more difficult to do that because you've got the three lanes. And he said, you can't get back up. You can't make the switch from one lane to the other as quickly as you can at Atlanta and Daytona because it's much wider track.
Well, I finally won by picking a winner last week. So let's do our points right now. Mike is in a dilemma because he's sort of complaining that he's he can't get Larson. And I said, well, Mike, that's because you're in first place. You don't get you probably aren't going to get a driver like Larson, you know, as long as you got last choice. But Mike's in first place with 11 points. Greg and Lanny are tied for second with 9. Deb, you've got 8. I've got 7. And Ronnie, you've got 4, which try to catch up. Who you want?
I'm going to try with Denny Hamlin this week.
Okay, Denny Hamlin. Got the next pick, so I'll stick with Chase. I'm not going to bail on him now that he's winning. Deb, you're next.
I'm going to take Joey Logano.
Just talking about Joey. All right, Greg is next, and he's got Christopher Bell. Lanny, if you will text me one in, I've got a pretty good idea who it'll be. And Mike, it looks like you might get who you want this week. So, but text it in to me, and we'll be set for today. So,
let me say something.
Go right ahead.
Before we finish the picking situation, to make everybody aware of this, Jonathan Hassler, Ryan Blaney's crew chief, will not be on the box this week. I got notified, all of us got notified by NASCAR this morning that an engineer, Tony Palmer, is replacing Jonathan Hassler this week on the box for Ryan Blaney. Hassler's wife had a baby earlier this week, and he's at home with them.
Okay.
That's a good reason to miss.
You know, that's how the sport has really, really changed since I first started covering it in the 79. In the 1980s, you would have never, ever had a driver or a crew chief or even a crewman say, my wife had a baby and I'm staying home. You would have never heard a competitor say, I want to spend more time with my family, like Eric Amarola has.
Mm-hmm.
You would have lost your job in the 1980s had you said that. And even into the 1990s, that was not an acceptable reason to miss a race.
Well, I tell you what, there was a lot of discussion about that very same thing at the Masters last week. I can't remember who it was now, Scheffler or one of those guys up front, was expecting a baby any minute, and it was the first one. And I think I read someplace he said, well, I don't know about the next one, but the first one, I'm walking off the golf course when I get the word. So it's a big moment. There's no doubt about it. Well, Deb, anything else that we can look for today before we let you go?
When you were talking about the ARCA race, you've got Jake Finch on the pole for the ARCA race.
Okay.
And you've got Richard Childress racing front row again for the Xfinity race this afternoon with Austin Hill on the pole and Jesse Love on the outside front row. And, qualifying is going on right now for the Cup Series. And let's see, I think there was one other thing, just to promote some of my stuff a little bit.
Go right ahead.
One story that is on Auto Week, like I said, I wrote a column on Chase and showing his renewed fire and the relationship between the Elliott-Kowicki situation. And I've got a story up on Jesse Love just absorbing as much as he can like a sponge. I thought it was interesting that at Texas last week, during the race, he radioed his spotter and asked his spotter to go ask Austin Hill's spotter what line Austin was driving through 3 and 4 because he was getting through 3 and 4 better than he was. He was having trouble getting through turns 3 and 4. And I thought it was interesting that Jesse would have his spotter go ask Austin's spotter to ask Austin. And Austin said, well, I tried to answer as best I could. He said, I tried to be honest. But he talks to Kyle Busch at least once a week. He doesn't hesitate to ask questions. And Austin Hill said that because Jesse goes and asks other drivers and other competitors for advice, You know, even Danny Lawrence, who oversees the Xfinity program now. Many people remember Danny from the engine program at Richard Childress Racing. But Austin said he had always been the type driver that would just try to figure something out for himself. And he said because Jesse is always asking so many questions that it's helped him to open up more and start asking questions if he has an issue about something. So I find it interesting how those two are working together. And that wasn't the story a story idea I had when I went in to the media availability with the two men, but that was the one I came out with.
Deb?
And
Deb, we gotta let
time you got to break. We gotta get a break.
Yeah, we gotta let you go. And but I did hear from Lanny, and of course he wants Blaney, and Mike got Larson. So we're all set, and I've already texted it to you. You're the best, Deb. And
thank you. Y'all have a great day.
We look forward to talking to you every week, and talk to you later. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You
bye-bye.
Too. That's Deb Williams. Who is she, Ronnie?
She's the smartest woman I know.
Yeah, she was had a lot to say this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Gave her an extra 5 minutes, actually.
That's okay.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back, and I'll do some results up to the top of the hour when we'll talk to Donnie Wingo. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
There's a brand new bar now open on Spartanburg's west side. Two Jim's Bar is now open next to Palmetto Spirits. Two Jim's Bar offer wine tastings for $10 with $10 coming off the price of the bottle. It's the only place where you can try anything they offer before you buy it. Stop by any night of the week for a good time and great drinks. Monday night is comedy night. On Tuesday nights, they have trivia from 6 till 8. On Wednesday night, team trivia and golden tea tournaments. Thursday night is ladies night. And on Fridays, they have live music and karaoke. Don't forget to try the wings. They're fantastic. Stop by Two Jim's Bar on the west side next to Palmetto Spirits and Tattoo Warehouse.
Alex, I see you got a new car.
Yeah, man, it's sweet. Room for Titus and all his stuff, but it's missing something.
Like what?
Well, you know how Titus likes Tupac.
Naturally.
Well, the new car doesn't have the bass like my old car did.
You need to take it to Elite Audio. They can add bass to a factory system.
Seriously?
Yeah, while you're there, let them add a remote start so the car is warm when you and Titus get in the morning.
I also saw they can add LED headlights, which you should look at, Clary, because you can't see anything.
Elite Audio on Asheville Highway. Check out all they can do at EliteAudioOnline.com, plus their Facebook page.
Apparently, you can't hear either.
What?
Who doesn't love being number one? When your team's dominating the standings, or your favorite band rocks the charts at number one, it feels good, right? Kind of like how it feels when you have auto insurance with State Farm. Because making you feel like number one is an honor your local State Farm agent takes seriously. Through the good times and not so good, your State Farm agent's proud to be here to help life go right.
Call local State Farm agent Cliff Gobert at 597-1200.
Visit our website at SpartanburgSportsRadio.com. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM, WSPG Spartanburg.
Spartanburg has been known as the hub city for decades due to our proximity to rail lines and interstate highways. Upstate Logistics has been part of the hub city transportation scene for over a decade. Upstate Logistics provides businesses with warehousing and transportation services, including inbound and outbound rail shipments. And more importantly, we support Spartanburg. Be it high school and college sports or important community projects, Upstate Logistics wants to help move Spartanburg forward. Upstate Logistics, keeping your business and Spartanburg moving forward. To find out more, visit upstatelogistics.com.
Spartan Waste is putting trash in its place in Spartanburg County. Spartan Waste is your locally owned trash collection company, keeping your community clean. Do your part by visiting Spartan-Waste.com to make sure your trash is picked up on time every time. And when we say Spartan Waste is locally owned, we mean the owners, Mark Nelson and Mark Mullen, are on the job every day, keeping the Spartanburg community, where they work and live, clean for their families and yours. Keep it clean with Spartan Waste.
Speedy Lube in Inman says to save time is to lengthen life for you and your car. Let Speedy Lube, Asheville Highway in Inman, lengthen the life and performance of your vehicle. Speedy Lube offers professional ASC certified mechanical service for your car. Be it an oil change, AC work, tires, brakes, front end, or any type of major or minor repair. Trust Speedy Lube in Inman. Open weekdays from 8 till 6. For fast, fair, and friendly service, visit Speedy Lube, Asheville Highway in Inman.
Finding something delicious to match my mood can be a challenge, but McDonald's kills it every single time. Like when I need something with a little oomph, that's when I reach for a classic and melty McDouble. When I want something with a little That's when I go for a crispy and juicy McChicken. And with Mix and Match, I can get two faves for just $3.49, like a McDouble with a McChicken or small fries. And now, my mood calls for a little oomph and Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And welcome back to Start Your Engines. I always hate to stop that song, Ronnie.
I know. I enjoy listening to it.
That's a good one. All right, let's hit a few results here and some things we've already touched on, like Xfinity. And it was, as they say, the second closest finish in NASCAR history. I'll take their word for it. It was 2/1,000th of a second, which...
That's pretty close.
It's dang close. But it was Sam Mayer for Junior Motorsports edging out Ryan Siege, who runs for his own family's team. That was another reason to pull for him. That nice-looking number 39. He's got a brother somewhere that's coming up, but that's by far the closest Ryan Siege ever came to winning a race. And he finished second. Third was Justin Allgaier. Fourth, A.J. Allmendinger. Fifth, Cole Custer. Sixth, Austin Hill. Seventh was Ryan Truex. Eighth, Sammy Smith. Ninth, Jesse Love. And 10th, Anthony Alfredo. Jeremy was looking like he was going to have a better finish than this, like he does very often, but he ended up 16th, which is not awful, but needs to do a little bit better than that. Looking at the points for Xfinity, and of course they take the top 12, as I tell you every week. Leading the points is Chandler Smith with two wins. Austin Hill's got, no, that's right. Austin Hill's second with two wins. Third is Sam Mayer. Fourth, he's got a win. Fourth is Cole Custer. Fifth, Justin Allgaier. Sixth, Jesse Love. Seventh, Riley Herbst. Eighth, A.J. Allmendinger. Ninth, Sammy Smith. Tenth is Parker Klingerman. 11th, Sheldon Creed. And 12th is Ryan Siege. You have to go down to 18th to find Jeremy Clements. And in between Jeremy and the playoffs are Brandon Jones, Anthony Alfredo, Shane Van Giesbergen, Brennan Poole, and Parker Retzlaff. Jeremy is 57 points out of 12th place behind Ryan Siege. And those other guys I mentioned are scattered in between there. He's four behind Retzlaff and nine behind Poole and so on and so forth, but really... we got to start cutting into that 57 that he's out of the playoffs. They did qualify Xfinity yesterday, and the pole went to Austin Hill and Jesse Love, who Deb was just talking about Jesse getting advice from Austin Hill through their spotters last week. And, of course, they are teammates on the team of Richard Childress, of course, 21 and 2. Second row today is Parker Klingerman and Cole Custer. Row 3, Sammy Smith and Ryan Truex. Row 4, Chandler Smith and Riley Herbst. And the fifth row has Josh Williams and Sheldon Creed. You will find Jeremy Clements parked on the outside of row 11, outside of a guy that he seems to can't get away from so far this year, and that's Parker Retzlaff. So, Jeremy's 38-car field, and he's starting 22nd, so he's in the middle there. And I tell you what, if you know anything about racing, you know how wacky Talladega can be, and anybody can win. And Jeremy just, you know, I don't know how you judge it. I mean, you know, you got to have a friend, and Jeremy's been out there longer than anybody, and there's a lot of give and take at Talladega, and friendship means a lot because you may need somebody to help you when it comes down to it. It's a 38-car field. Do you lay back and wait for the big one to take half the field out, or do you get up front and try to be ahead of it? It's, you know, who knows? But Jeremy is good at this, and we'll just have to cross our fingers that he'll do what he needs to do to have a good finish. That race will be at 4 o'clock today, and they're on Fox, the big network. Ronnie, we just coughing our tails off. My nose is running, and I'm coughing, and other than that, I'm fine. So anyway, that's the Ag Pro 300 today at 4 on Fox. Hopefully, we won't have any weather problems. Looking at Cup, they last week ran the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 at Texas. And as we mentioned with Deb, Chase Elliott was the winner, and the drought's over. I think it was 42 races. I could be wrong about that. I think it went back to like November of 2022 with at Talladega, since the last time Chase had won. I believe that's right. Second was Brad Keselowski, who was just, you talk about a drought, he's in the midst of one, a long one. I don't know how long his is, but it's years. But you know, he went and started his own team, and there's growing pains to doing that. Of course, his teammate, Chris Buescher's won a bunch. So Brad, I know, wants to get in there and get a win, and he's getting close. Third was William Byron. Fourth, Tyler Reddick. Fifth, Daniel Suarez. Sixth, Chase Briscoe. Seventh, Bubba Wallace, who always runs good at Talladega. Eighth, Austin Dillon. Ninth, Kyle Busch. And tenth, Carson Hocevar. As I said, on the last lap, the last half lap, Ross Chastain went from side-by-side battling for the lead on the backstretch to 31st because he got bumped and taken out in a racing accident. I don't think there was anything of malintent there. Looking at the point standings, of course, they take the top 16. William Byron is the points leader with 3 wins. Denny Hamlin is second with 2. Third is Kyle Larson. Chase Elliott bumps all the way up to 4th, and that's because he's got a win, as is Kyle Larson. Fifth is Christopher Bell with a win. Sixth is Daniel Suarez with a win. Then without wins, in 7th, Martin Truex Jr. 8th, Ty Gibbs. 9th, Ryan Blaney. 10th, Tyler Reddick. 11th, Bubba Wallace. 12th, Ross Chastain. 13th, Chase Briscoe. 14th, Chris Buescher. 15th, Alex Bowman. And 16th, Kyle Busch. On the outside looking in, and boy, you don't see him on the outside looking in much, and that's past champion Joey Logano was 17th. 18th, Brad Keselowski. 19th, Eric Jones, who had a pretty good race last week. And 20th is John Hunter Nemechek. And as I said, they will run tomorrow, and that will be the Geico 500 at Talladega, and that's at 3 o'clock, and they're qualifying right now, according to Deb, and we'll hope for good weather. Could be iffy. She says the rain's going to move through before the bad weather gets here, so we'll see. I'm so sorry. Trucks don't run again till May the 4th, and that will be at Kansas when they will run the Heart of America 200. That will be on FS1 on a Saturday at 8 o'clock at night, so we will talk more about that as it gets a little closer, but there are point standings. Christian Eckes is first, Corey Heim second, Ty Majeski third, Nick Sanchez fourth, Taylor Gray fifth, Tyler Ankrum sixth, Rajah Caruth is seventh, Matt Crafton eighth, Tanner Gray ninth, and Grant Enfinger's tenth, and they take the top 10 to the standings. ARCA, touch on them real quick. They will run today at 12:30. I've got to get home in time to, I'm not going to watch it. I've got something else I've got to do, but I've got the recorder set for it. But that's at 12:30 today, the General Tire 200 at Talladega, and that's usually a pretty exciting race.
Yes.
Because those guys, I mean, that's as fast as they can go, and some of them actually have never been as fast as they can go. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that plays out. But the point standings, and they've only had 2 races, Daytona and somewhere else, maybe Atlanta, I don't remember. But leading the points is Greg Van Alst. Second is Christian Rose. Third is Andres Perez de Lara. Fourth, Amber Balkane. Fifth, LeVar Scott. Sixth, Andy Jankowiak. Did it again. Seventh, Alex Chubb. Eighth, William Sawalitz. Ninth, Gus Dean. And tenth is Isaac Johnson. They will run today at 12:30, and that is on FS1, as all of the far as our all of the ARCA races are. And we're going to stop the results right here and save it for after we talk to actually, we'll save it for the last segment when we talk to Donnie Wingo, that I'm going to get on the phone right now in a second. And then after him, we'll talk to Mike Hill. So, Ronnie, it's a busy day. Hope the weather cooperates and get your work done. Get your nap out of the way because you got till 3 o'clock.
Sounds good to me. And I want to bring up a real quick question.
Yep.
In Australia, races go clockwise.
Yep.
Do they do that also in New Zealand?
Don't know. Try to figure it out. You're listening to Start Your Engines.
Download our app on your smartphone or mobile device. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM. WSBG Spartanburg. And here's what you need to know.
In the NBA play-in tournament on Friday night, the New Orleans Pelicans defeated the Sacramento Kings 105-98 to advance to the playoffs, where they'll take on one-seed Oklahoma City in the opening round. Earlier Friday night, the Miami Heat defeated the Chicago Bulls 112-91. Tyler Hero, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Miami gets the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference and will face 1-seed Boston in the first round. The playoffs tip off 2 hours from now in Cleveland with Game 1 between the Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. Popular sports trivia expert and former TV personality Howie Schwab has passed away, according to his former colleague Dick Vitale. Schwab was best known for the sports trivia show Stump the Schwab, which aired from 2004 to 2006. I'm Isaac Lohenkron.
This is...
A few years back, when we were ready to reopen the station, the water pipes burst, putting thousands of dollars of equipment in danger. That was one stressful evening, but one phone call to Thomas McGuire and PuroClean, the paramedics of property damage, and our stress disappeared. PuroClean rolled in, took charge, and rescued the station from severe water damage. Since then, I've used PuroClean at my house. You should do the same. Whether you're faced with fire and smoke damage, a flooding basement, or need carpet or upholstery cleaning, do what I do. And that's called 285-3530 for PuroClean.
In working with clients in today's economic and financial environment, Trent Lancaster, financial advisor in Janney's Spartanburg office, uses his extensive skill and experience to help clients understand market trends. Trent holds the accredited wealth management advisor designation. For clients, this means they are working with a top-tier advisor who can help them toward optimizing their financial strategies and minimizing market volatility. These advisors passed comprehensive exams and must follow a code of ethics. This can provide comfort for clients knowing they are working with a trusted advisor. Let Trent help you navigate the financial landscape. To learn more, call 864-585-8282 or visit TrentLancaster.com. Janney Montgomery Scott, LLC, member FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC.
Have you been in a car or motorcycle wreck or an accident involving an 18-wheeler? Have you been injured in a workplace accident? If any of these things happen to you, you need to call the Carolina Law Group today. The Carolina Law Group isn't afraid of the big insurance companies, and they will fight for you. Call today to speak with an attorney for a free consultation. In Spartanburg and Greer, call 757-5555. And in Greenville, call 312-4444. The Carolina Law Group attorneys are your local injury lawyers with 4 convenient locations to serve you in Spartanburg, Greenville, and Greer. Visit them online today at thecarolinalawgroup.com.
For nearly 2 decades.
These are the guys. They're how I end every workday.
The sports voice of Spartanburg County has been right here. Weekdays at 3 p.m. It's Open Mic, talking everything local, from USC Upstate to the biggest high school football and basketball games in the region. Don't miss a moment of Open Mic with Ryan Cleary, Joe Skinner, and Anthony Greer every weekday beginning at 3 on Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Live
live from our studios in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Fox Sports Spartanburg presents Start Your Engines. Here is your race team for today. Show producer Ronnie Black, author and National Press Association Hall of Fame journalist Deb Williams, former NASCAR team manager and author Greg Moore, and with our special guests, here is your host for Start Your Engines, racing historian and author Perry Allen Wood.
And welcome back to the second hour of Start Your Engines, and it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome to the show one of our favorites, ex-crew chief for Bud Moore and a lot of other teams with a lot of wins, none other than Donnie Wingo. Good morning, Donnie.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
We're doing great. I hope you're doing the same. How's the weather up there? It's been stormy down here.
No, weather's been good here this morning. Bright, sunny. Well, we've had good weather.
That's good. But I didn't cue you with this or tell you about it beforehand because actually it just sort of dawned on me. But, you know, we lost a member of our show, one of our co-hosts, and the guy that used to get us all our guests, of course, Greg Moore, passed away back in the end of February. And I think you'd be one that probably would have something to share about Greg, maybe a story or just pass along your condolences or whatever. But I know as long as you were with Bud Moore, you had to have a lot of interaction with Greg.
Oh, yeah, we did. You know, and not only did we lost Greg over the last couple of years, we've lost about three or four more. We've lost Ray Harris and Phil yeah. Thomas, mm-hmm. which is our gas man. Charlie Gibson passed away just a few weeks ago. So, yeah, it's just, you know, we're dwindling down. The team's getting smaller, but, you know, pretty much most of them I still stay in touch with. But, yeah, Greg was kind of the bun of a lot of jokes, you know, on the weekends when we were at the racetrack because he was, you know, Greg was a little different, but he was a great guy. But one of the best stories, I guess some of the best stories I can tell is, you know, I used to we called him Walter. I always drove Walter home after the races. So it would be me, Greg, and my wife in the front seat of the Lincoln, and my bud was laying in the back asleep. So, you know, Bud was a character when he'd get into it a little bit there coming home or whatever. And, you know, he'd kind of get a little mouthy once in a while, but he was, you know, we loved him to death. But the famous thing we get home is we'd pull up and those lights and Lincoln and sign in the door and Rooster'd come out the door. You know, that's what they call Miss Moore. She's yep. a great lady too. But as soon as those lights would shine in, she'd pop that door open. Greg would get out and she'd say, "Mama, he's all yours." But yeah, we had a lot of fun running up down the road together. You know, for many years, I was with Bud for almost 11 years. And
wow.
Yeah, I had a lot of good people. You know, there's a lot of good people went through there, and we've lost a lot of them. And one I miss, Raymond Kelly, you know, he's gone too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've missed a lot of people over the years.
Now, you're from Spartanburg?
I am. I was born and raised in Spartanburg.
That's what I thought. Because this thing I got right here says Mooresville, and I said, I don't think he's from Mooresville.
No, I actually grew up in Woodland Heights. I don't know. There's a little area there off of Reval Road.
Oh, yeah. I've been here for 70 years, off and on. 72.
Yeah, I grew up in Woodland Heights, and when I was a senior in high school, we moved to the little town of Roebuck down the road there, and that's where most all my family lives now.
So you must be a Dorman guy.
And my wife's family also. I am a Dorman guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from the farmer side.
Well, that's all right. I'm Barton High, and Ronnie here is from Burn, so
we got
the county covered.
Yeah.
So that's what you did then, and that's why I thought that being from Spartanburg had a lot to do with why you started with Bud Moore. You just went down and asked for a job. Is that how it went down? And
I don't know if you remember Satterfield's, Don and Gerald.
Yeah, they had race cars.
Okay, so I went to three or four races with them back when they had. I went to Pocono, and then I went to Nashville, and I went to Bristol with them. So along the way, I got to know Johnny Davis a little bit, which was working at James Tilton at the time. So I used to go up. I drove a truck, Community Cash Warehouse, when I was going to college, and I went up to help James and Johnny at night and that's where I kind of got started racing. So I would go on the weekends, helped on my change tires. Me and Johnny changed tires. And I helped. That would should have been about 81 or 82 that I went to most all the races with James and Johnny that year. And then I got to know Smut, Jimmy Means, and I went to work at Jimmy's, and I worked up there for about 3 years.
That was up in Forest City, wasn't it?
It was. I drove back and forth to Forest City. That was my first full-time racing job, was working for Jimmy.
Well, I tell you what, that's why I thought you were from Spartanburg. I didn't want to be confused about it. But you worked for Bud Moore, and you saw some you saw a lot of wins with Bud Moore with Ricky Rudd. What year did you start with Bud Moore?
I started with Bud in 85.
85. All right. Well, that would have been during Ricky Rudd, right?
That was Ricky Rudd's year. Yep. I started there. I got to know Harold Stott and Doug at the racetrack, and that was the time that Cody Morris, I don't know if people remember Cody Morris a lot, but
yeah.
Great guy, worked the bus for a long time. And,
yep.
You know, Cody got sick, got cancer, so they were looking for somebody. You know, Cody was on his way out, so I kind of took Cody's place as a fabricator there in the shop.
I mean, I don't know some of these people personally, but I've heard Greg talk about, you know, the names, and I wrote a biography of Greg and Bud, so they
yeah.
talk about Cody Morris and you, of course, and all these all of the old employees that you're right, they're ticking off a little too fast to suit me, but
a little too fast for me.
Yeah, you know, you've had a lot of associations, you know, not only with Bud Moore and now you stayed with Bud Moore through Dick Trickle.
I stayed with Bud Moore until the sellout was coming. You know, when those guys coming, I would have never left as long as Bud was going to own the team and things were going to move forward and things were strong. And I talked to Bud about it a long time, and Bud said, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, you know, if you're going to stay in this business, you need to. Well, me and him had those conversations a lot. So at the time, Travis was helping us, and I went to work for Travis. I came up to work for Travis Carter when they had the Winston sponsorship and the Smoking Joes. So.
Jimmy Spencer,
yes, sir. And I moved. That was in '96. So I've been in Mooresville since '96.
Okay, and you were with a lot of other teams and saw a lot of wins with Jamie McMurray, which I always liked him. In fact, I think he was. Well, I don't think if I remember correctly, he was substituting. Sterling Marlin got hurt, right? And he took his place.
Correct.
And won the second, yep. And won the Charlotte Fall race. And it was like, I was there and I was like, that's amazing. I've never seen anybody win their second race.
So that was the year, before he was already, they were already planning him going full time. And that's when I was going over there to go to work when he had won that race there. So yeah, he was filling in for Sterling when Sterling got injured.
You know, my wife's Colombian and we, our house driver after, you know, for a long time, and after he came over to a stock car race and to run with Ganassi was Juan Pablo Montoya, which, you know, a lot of people liked him. A lot of people made fun of him, especially after the deal with hitting the track dryer at Daytona that year. But we always pull for Montoya, and I thought he was great. And how was it working with him? Was there any language barrier or anything like that, or was did you ever go down to Columbia and visit or anything like that?
No, never did anything like that, but no, it was great. I mean, that guy was a super talented guy. He was a smart guy. He could, you know, he had a good feel for a race car, and, you know, if we could get things right, you know. The first year, I guess it was his rookie year, we won the race at Sonoma.
Yep.
So, won rookie of the year with him. No, he was a very talented guy. I enjoyed it. I mean, I really enjoyed being around him. You know, we did a lot of things away from the track, stuff like that together. And, you know, he played golf a lot. So, it was a great experience for me, and I enjoyed everybody I ever worked with. There was very few drivers that you know, I didn't enjoy. Maybe toward the later end of the career there's some of them that, you know, wasn't quite what I think they should be. But you'll have that. It's all great.
Oh,
all the guys. I loved it. I love them all.
And now, you were with Trevor Bayne then, with the Wood Brothers, right?
I did.
When you won Daytona.
You know, Yeah, I did. You know, me and Eddie and Lynn had been friends for a long time, and me and Eddie had talked several times in the past about me coming to work there, but it was kind of a deal to where, you know, I didn't really want to go work for my friends. You know what I mean? Sometimes that don't mix too good.
That's
but,
true.
But finally, you know, there toward the end when I was working for Jack, and, you know, they got a relationship going with Jack where, you know, we're going to get cars and stuff from Jack, and Jack was going to, you know, furnish a lot of parts and that sort of thing. And so I went to work for Eddie and Lynn, and, you know, that was great. I mean, it was the first year that I'd been over there, 2011. I actually did a few races in 2010, but 2011. Win the Daytona 500, you know, that was the first one they'd won in a while, and that was probably one of the highlights of my career. You know, you always, you know, that's the Super Bowl of our sport, and to be able to be a part of a win of a Daytona 500,
yeah,
there's nothing like it.
We're talking to Spartanburg's own Donnie Wingo, and who's just had a great career with several different teams. One of the things that, you know, that win with Trevor Bayne at Daytona, that was 2011, and the Wood Brothers haven't visited Victory Lane since. I think their next win, aren't they stuck on like 99 or something like that?
They have. I think that race was 98. So they won one race. I think Blaney won a race at. Ran away race, maybe at Pocono.
You're right. I forgot about that.
I can't remember where it was, but I think they've won one race since then. But yeah, they, you know, they're shooting for that 100 mark. So, you know, I hope they accomplish it soon.
They had a great organization. They were up there pretty good last week for a little while with Harrison Burton, and I always, of course. Sharing the same name as Wood, I've got nothing to do with them, but I always pull for the Wood Brothers, and yeah, I'd like to see them get back in Victory Lane with the history they have in Spartanburg, you know, with Pearson, David Pearson, and everything.
Oh yeah, you know Leonard is probably, if nobody ever been around Leonard Wood's probably one of the smartest guys I've ever been around in my life, and just a little bit I was there, you know, for 3 years there toward the end there. He taught me a lot.
Well, speaking of Greg, Greg told me that Leonard was his mentor. I mean, I know he's Bud Moore's son, but when I wrote that, Greg and I wrote his biography, Leonard Wood did the foreword for it, and Greg just thought the world of Leonard Wood, and he said, yeah, that's the... I learned a lot from Bud Moore, but my mentor was Leonard Wood.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard, you know, Leonard was very good with the engines, like heads and intake and carburetors and that sort of thing. And when, you know, that's kind of what Greg worked on.
Like, right.
You know, his engine department, he worked on the heads a lot. He did some grinding on heads and intakes and that sort of thing. So, you know, he talked to Leonard and those guys a lot, and I think Leonard helped him a lot and taught him a lot.
I don't know if you remember this or not, and but I'm just getting it from Greg because I didn't know it, but he said around the shop he was Mr. Flo from
Mr. Flo, yeah. That was Greg. He was the Flo guy. He was back on the Flo bench.
And he said that was a lousy job and nobody wanted to do it, but he liked it.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, we didn't have anybody else that did the head stuff. You know, you had a few guys in there that maybe put them together, but Greg did most of the grinding or whatever on the head. Bud would do a little bit on the intake and stuff, but Greg did most all of it.
Well, Donnie, I see you on YouTube. Of course, you know, doing my research, I looked you up, and you actually said on there's quite a bit of you on YouTube, as a matter of fact. But you talk about something that you mentioned a few minutes ago about how you just can't sit at home, and you've got to get out there and work, but you love people and you like being around people. And that's just great. What are you doing these days?
So, I mean, I hadn't been in racing since 2019. That's the last time I've been in a racetrack was home fed 2019. I took a couple years off, kind of stayed around the house. And then, my wife decided one of us was going to have to get out of the house. It was either going to be me or her. So, you know, after you've been traveling pretty much for almost 40 years, 4 days a week, you know, it's kind of hard just to stay at home. And that's, you know, she's kept things going at home, you know, for 40 years. You know, she basically raised her kids and couldn't have done anything without her. So, but yeah, now I'm working at a company I started in 2020, working for Mission Mobile Medical. They build mobile medical units. We build mobile medical units, and we send them all over the country to the, you know, underserved communities. You know, it's a lot of different people, different organizations buy them. We probably got over 200 units out there now.
Wow.
And we're building, you know, 60, 70, 80 units a year. So it's super good people. You know, get interact with the clients a lot. We do in-house training for them to operate the units. Started there in 2020. I was the ninth person hired. I think we're up to 65, 70 people right now.
Wow. Now, did you said you quit racing? You haven't raced since 2019, but did that have anything to do with COVID, or is that just a coincidence?
That's kind of just a coincidence. You know, I was kind of getting toward the end of the career. You know, when you get old, they kind of shuffle you on out in this sport nowadays. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those deals where I was, you know, where I was working, it was getting smaller. So they cut back, and I tried for a little while to find something at other teams. You know, I was 60 years old at the time, and there just wasn't much opportunity out there. So I kind of moved on to doing something else. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing, but it's not. It's a team-oriented deal to where we all work as a big team, and we get the job done just like racing. I still enjoy watching it. But, I mean, I hadn't been back to racetrack again since 2019. But I watch them most of the time on Sundays. And that's the biggest part that I miss about it. I miss the people, you know, all the people that I got to know over the years. And not only the competitors, but teammates and also the officials. You know, you get to know all these guys and you're all just one big family. But, you know, we've lost a lot of them over the last few years. But, you know, I still stay in touch with a lot of them. A lot of them still, we stay in touch every week. Some of them do work for the company I do.
We got a guy coming on right after you, Mike Hill. I'm sure you know Mike. Anything you want to embarrass him about?
No, Mike. Mike, good guy. Me and Mike always got along good, you know, when he worked at Juniors and stuff. And, you know, we hadn't talked in a little while. You know, he's been in the sporty car, working in the sporty car world for a while. But, me and Mike get along good. You know, we from the same place.
Yeah, that's right.
He's from Boiling Springs, and I'm now from a little town of Roebuck down the road there. So, yeah, they used to have dirt cars a lot. I used to go to the dirt track a lot.
Yep.
Watch the dirt cars run.
You and Mike had the county covered from one end to the other. So Well, Donnie, it's been great talking to you, and you've had a great career, and you're still working and sound happy.
I am. Yes, sir.
And that's just, you know, I wish you all the best in the world. And thanks for coming on the show, and we'll hopefully have you on again next year.
Anytime, just whenever you need me, just let me know.
All right. Thank you so much, Donnie. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, Perry. Yes, sir.
That's Donnie Wingo. Good interview there, Ronnie.
Oh, it's fun to talk to him.
Yep. All right. Let's take a break. Come back and talk to Mike Hill. See what he's got on his mind, and find out a little bit about that Wheeling Cadillac that took its third straight pole position at Long Beach yesterday afternoon. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Start Your Engines will be back after this quick pit stop on Fox Sports 1400 and 98.3 FM.
You already know Palmetto Spirits is the place to go for wine, fine bourbons, and home bar essentials. But Palmetto Spirits is also the perfect place to pick up your favorite local craft brews like RJ Rockers, crowd-pleasing Budweiser brands, and world-famous imports like Stella Artois, Modelo, and Corona. Whether you're in search of the ideal wine pairing or the ideal gift, Jim and the staff at Palmetto Spirits will get it in your hands. Palmetto Spirits, located at the corner of Reedville and Anderson Mill Roads.
Spring is here, and so are the savings at Greer Nissan. Deals are in full bloom this month on all your favorite Nissan models, like a new 2023 Sentra or Frontier. Your choice. Lease for only $199 a month. Or hit the road in a new Nissan Rogue. Lease for only $299 a month. Low prices, big selection, and committed to quality customer service. Come see us on Wade Hampton Boulevard or shop online 24/7 at GreerNissan.com.
Spartan Waste is putting trash in its place in Spartanburg County. Spartan Waste is your locally owned trash collection company, keeping your community clean. Do your part by visiting Spartan-Waste.com to make sure your trash is picked up on time, every time. And when we say Spartan Waste is locally owned, we mean the owners, Mark Nelson and Mark Mullen, are on the job every day, keeping the Spartanburg community, where they work and live, clean for their families and yours. Keep it clean with Spartan Waste.
Make Phillips & Long Fuel Chesney your source for propane in Spartanburg County. They offer propane for hot water heaters, cooking, and heat. They can fill your grill tank and get you ready for grilling season. Not only do they sell propane, but they sell a large variety of propane accessories such as grill tanks and other appliances that run on propane. If your propane tank is running low, call and we'll have it filled within one business day. Call them at 864-461-8511. That's Phillips & Long Fuel, located at 421 South Alabama Avenue in Chesney.
Spartanburg, when you're looking for the home of the best sports coverage around,
we're talking about greatest ever spectacular talent.
Good news, you're already there. It's us, Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3 FM. We're your home for the Spartanburg Vikings, the Atlanta Braves, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and Duke basketball. Plus, your most trusted source for the best high school coverage around. This is Fox Sports Spartanburg 98.3 FM.
Image Printing is the only shop in the upstate that prints signage, decals, banners, t-shirts, wide format printing, full color paper printing, and offers graphic design services all in-house. And now Image Printing is offering custom t-shirts with no minimum quantity. That's right, Image Printing now offers direct to garment printing, which means you can get your design printed on a t-shirt whether you want one or 1,000. Visit Image Printing at 845 California Ave, across the street from the Spartanburg County Detention Center. Call
864-583-8848. You know, we do have some good bumper music.
Yeah, we do. That's and money is the very appropriate for our next guest, Mike Hill. Good morning, Mike.
There's a song out called Wrong. That's wrong. Put money up beside me is wrong.
Well, I tried to get Donnie Wingo to say something bad about you, but he wouldn't. So,
I didn't know one thing. I didn't know Wingo was from Woodland Heights.
You know, I got this thing here. I printed off the internet, and it says born something 1960, Mooresville, North Carolina. And I'm like, he's not from Mooresville, North Carolina. I thought he went to Spartan High, but he went to Dorman. But that's okay. But
everybody's got a bird to bear.
If you go up and look at Donnie Wingo's Wikipedia, they don't even have the right picture there. That guy that they have the picture of, the guy they're calling Donnie Wingo is not Donnie Wingo.
Well, what do I have here? I think I got Wikipedia. Who is it?
It's a guy that I forgot his name. Shorty Edwards that worked there with him. He told me, and I didn't write it down who it was. But that's not Donnie. They got a picture up there.
You know, it almost looks like to me. Is he wearing a Kmart hat? A Kmart racing?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that looks a little bit like Travis Carter.
That's not Donnie.
It looks like Travis Carter to me.
It's not Donnie.
Okay, well.
It's not Travis.
I wish I'd have known that. I'd ask him.
He's like a businessman that they let come in on the weekends and help him, you know, glue up lug nuts and stuff. We have a lot of those guys.
That sounds like what I would have done. Okay, so three in a row, three pole positions in a row. That's that was pretty nerve-wracking yesterday when he was out there swapping it back and forth with Bourdais and Bourdais came out late. I guess that was some sort of strategy thing that yeah. Ganassi was trying to pull. He was swapping, people was swapping the fastest speed back and forth with, I think it was Taylor, wasn't it? Whoever it was, I don't remember.
It was Taylor to start with, then it was that yellow guy or whatever, Yelly or whatever.
Yololi, the BMW.
Yololi got close there. That's the one lap that he put down. And I'm sure that's probably why they left Fifo out there, because the more gas you run off of those cars, the faster you go. Of course, it's going to get lighter. And it means a lot with those cars. That's why you sit and get quicker and quicker and quicker. Not only do the tires get warm, but the fuel burns off.
They
did the same thing. You see the same thing in Formula One, you know?
They just about left people out there a lap too long because he stuffed it into the tire barrier there and was able to back up and get out of there. And obviously they'll have to put a new nose on it. But anything else get messed up like that? Or was that was a pretty innocent hit, but it damaged the car, and he still got the pole.
It's cosmetic. It's all cosmetic. That was cosmetic. You could probably just put another nose on it. You know, it's just probably just $100,000 or something to take to fix that.
Well, and they were talking a little bit about it, and we talked about it, you and I, but let's do it again for our listeners. That is or is not the same car that we last saw upside down on the tire barrier at Sebring.
That's not it.
Okay.
No.
Because
I know the engineer is my engineer. He would not. That car that was upside down, it got sent back to back to Italy to Dallara, where they do those carbon tubs.
Okay.
They were finding, I think the last I heard, they found like 3 holes in the tub. So it's not going to be usable again.
Oh, so
you could fix it, but it's not going to be the quality of car. And I know my engineer, I mean, we used to just run off the racetrack sometime. The engineer would want a new car, which I've seen Cup crew chiefs the same way.
But they
always want the latest, greatest car.
But they won't send that back to you from Dallara? I mean, they'll just keep it and send you.
I'm sure it'll come back. Somebody paid for it. They'll probably patch it up, use it for a show car.
Oh, okay.
That's what we usually do.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
You know that
it'll be an expensive deal.
That truck at Long Beach, that one stretch there. Right before where he crashed yesterday. I mean, they're like almost going through a tunnel or going through an underpass or something, and it looks so narrow. I don't think two cars can get through there side by side. I forgot how tough that course is, and of course they've been running on it for 40 or 50 years, I guess. But you said something last week about running. I had never even heard it mentioned running stock cars on there, but I don't see how you could do that.
Oh, they all dream. Well, they did. They run them out there. They run them out there inside the Rose Bowl, which didn't work out too good. That's not working out good either. So they're looking for another venue, and they start mentioning, oh, you could come to Long Beach. And I said, gosh, people, don't y'all know after one lap that hairpin turn's going to take out everybody out there? The cup cars not going to work good out there. It's tough enough to get the prototype cars to make those turns.
Yeah. Can't see that either. But I just looked. It looked awful narrow, and especially that one stretch before where he hit the tire barrier yesterday.
Well, it's a two-lane street. That's what it is. It's just a street course.
Yeah.
Out there, I had been down there back in the 80s. We got to California early for Riverside, and we drove off down there just to go down and get on the Queen Mary and see the Spruce Goose. So I knew exactly what it was like, because when I went back out there, you know, to race prototypes, I said, we're going to race on the streets. And of course I'd seen it on TV. But yeah, before we get done here, I want to say something. Donnie Wingo mentioning all these people's names is like family. When you've been around these guys, you know, like Raymond and Greg and Donnie and all these guys, every week we spent more time together than we did with our families. And that's what made me laugh. Donnie was talking about here his wife had to get out of the house. Yeah, I'm finding that out. This is the first time I've been sitting at home for longer than 6 months, and me and my wife, she's going to Italy tomorrow, so that'll give me a a little bit because her list get long for me to, and I know what it is, you know. They're saying, hey, look, I'm doing all this. You need to do all this. Well, okay, here we go.
Well, at day 9, you'll have to get the place back like she wants it.
I was just joking with her. I told her I was just going to take a vacation now for 9 days.
Your daughter's over there, right?
Yeah, she lives over there. She married an Italian.
Oh, I thought it was... I didn't know what it was, to be honest with you. I thought it was just some sort of extended visit, but every time, not every time I talk to you, but frequently you talk about your daughter in Italy, but I didn't know she lived there.
Yeah, they bought a boat there in Tuscany, Italy, and they've got olive trees, and they're going to be growing a lot more stuff, and I'm sure when my daughter's mother gets over there, they'll have a big garden going.
Wow, that's something. All right. So you're both on vacation for 10 days. You got anything you're going to do in particular? Come on down to Spartanburg and let me entertain you for a day or a weekend or something, or a day anyway. I don't know if I can do the whole weekend.
Well, somebody's got to feed the animals around here.
Okay. Well, what do you have?
Chickens and dogs and cats and. I was going to get.
Well, the cat can eat the chicken and the dog can eat the cat. And then you won't have as many.
That's what my wife right now is worried that I'm going to let happen. when she leaves, she's afraid that I'm going to downsize the feeding herd that we have going on here.
Well, she better be out there taking a roll call or something and count them.
She knows. She's got names for all of them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where's Clyde? So,
yeah.
All right.
Names for
them. So, all right. So we got Long Beach today, and we'll touch on it a little bit later when we're done. When I do my wrap up on the points and everything. But that race today is at 4:30 on USA, and the Peacock feed will be supposed to be commercial free. I don't know if it is or not, but I know you got mad at them one time because they threw a commercial in there. And
You're supposed to pay for something like Peacock Plus and supposed to be commercial free. Well, I got to notice, and I was seeing just as many commercials as the channel that I wasn't paying for. So you know what I'm saying? It had more commercials on it than the other one. And I asked them about it. Of course, they don't have anybody that can relate to anybody asking any questions, so I just dropped it. I'm not paying for something that wasn't right. But
That's three pole positions in a row with IMSA now in this particular class. You get points for winning the pole, don't you?
Yes, we do.
All right, well, that's...
Do now. That was a big deal to get everybody pumped up for it, you know, because... In the highest series there, when you don't have but 7 or 8 cars, it wasn't such a big thing to go out there. And even if you missed the pole, you only got 6 cars or 7 cars in front of you, you got to pass. But now they're paying points. So if you're running for the championship, you're going to – you saw it yesterday. You saw what went on. So.
Yeah. And so you say that since Durrani qualified the car, he'll run the first stint and Aiken will finish?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he can't stay in the car the whole time. They'll put Jack in there.
Well, you know, and I really like the format. I mean, of course, they have the 12-hour races and the 24-hour races and the 4-hour races. But this is a lot. Most of the races from week to week are 100 minutes. That's an hour and 40 minutes. Now, and when it's over, it's over, unless they do what they did at Daytona and screw it up. But, you know, it's... I like the format. It's quick, and you can build some time. I mean, you can. What am I trying to say? You know how long it's going to last before it starts, and you can plan the rest of your day or evening or whatever around a 2-hour block there that they have with the pre-race and post-race. So I really like it. I love it. I really love the IMSA, and I'm just so glad we've got you to come on and talk about it firsthand. Do you still stay in touch with the guys?
Oh yeah, I was talking to them yesterday. Yeah.
Don't want to go back, huh?
Well, I want to. You know, I would never have left, and then they would take me back tomorrow.
I bet.
I have to do. I mean, my back just won't let me go. It's like my back won't turn me loose. It's got me.
Well, if you...
like I said, nobody can. When the Mayo Clinic told me, "Hey, Mike, we're sorry. I spent 3 days in the Mayo Clinic. Two of them listening to them tell me they can fix me." To the biggest letdown in my life so far is when they told me, "No, we can't do anything. You've got too much damage." Basically, that I've changed tires on cup cars too long, thinking I was invincible.
Oh man! Well, I mean, but you're able to chase chickens around and stuff.
I don't have to chase them every morning before I get hurt real bad. I just go out there and feed them, turn them out, because I can't let them stay free up here in the mountains. I got foxes and stuff like that. But yeah, well, I just go until I get hurt and so bad, and I come in and sit down, take my Advil, and when Advil kick in, I go back doing other stuff. But I can't do that with racing anymore.
My back hurts from time to time, and you know, I haven't seen this advertised in years. I mean, maybe decades, until recently I'm seeing advertisements on TV for Dones. And that was always the back remedy.
Little Dones back pills. Yeah. I tried those back in the day, but I don't know. I think it was more to help something else rather than your back. It's cleaning out your kidneys or something that was supposed to be helping your back or something. I don't know, but I've been looking into all kinds of stuff. They told me that stem cells is the big thing, so I'm just waiting on somebody to Mayo to call me up and say, "Hey, look, we got you was asking about stem cells. We got it going. Come on down." So I want somebody to. It was that to get stem cells, you had to go out of the United States, and the guy that sponsored us there, the Mustang Sampling guy, Mr. Thompson, who owned Mustang Sampling Company, was going to pay and have me flown to Venezuela or somewhere and do stem cell surgery on me. And I said, "I don't think so."
Does it hurt to ride in a plane?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet that would be, because you, well, you haven't really traveled with a team in a while. You pretty much stayed in the shop, right? So it wouldn't be a matter of you having to fly someplace every week.
That last trip to California, I was sitting on the, and when it was time to get up, I was finding out just how bad my back was then. I couldn't get up out of my seat. I had to use my arms to push myself up.
Well, I have to do that too. Before I let you go, let me ask you, how's my buddy Alan doing?
I hadn't heard much out of him. You know, he got in a wreck. He wrecked his pickup truck. Somebody, a girl turned in front of him and tore his truck up. And
all that fishing rig?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I asked him about the fishing deal, and he says, "I can't, you know, because it was the big money where they were going to pay the big bucks." And I was asking if he was going. He said he didn't have a way. And I'm thinking, darn, you should have called me. I'd have come down and took you, but... He's got his old truck running, but he said he didn't trust it to go real far. So
I'll take him if I get a piece of the action, and he can cram it in a Mustang.
But I hadn't talked to him this week. I think he's a little dejected. He found out that the girl didn't make her last insurance payment, so she didn't have any insurance.
Well, but you know what? Now, one of the smartest things, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not smart, but I've always had uninsured, underinsured insurance. And when my wife got hit there on East Main Street and rolled over about three times back in 2012, the people that hit her coming out of those apartments there right at Lawson's Fork on East Main Street, they didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we got a bunch of money out of that deal because we had underinsured insurance, you know, for people that didn't have any insurance or not enough, that just had the minimum. And I've always been a big advocate of that, because it was...
Me too. I think that's what I told him. I said, you just get your let your insurance company handle it, because they have something called uninsured insurance or something.
Yeah, it's a little higher, but man, when you need it, you can cash in.
Yeah, especially in today's time.
Yep. Well, Mike, we'll let you go. I know you're got some racing to watch today. I may not... I got some things I got to do, so I'm going to record the ARCA race and watch it tonight. But, man, I'll be sitting there. I'll have one TV, I guess, on the Xfinity another one on the IMSA. So I'm sorry they overlap. And tomorrow we got Indy and NASCAR at the same time. So there's a lot of racing. We're really getting geared up here. And it's a good time of the year.
Yeah, they're qualifying it. Talladega now. Michael McDowell was on the pole that they took that deal down. I think they got. Did you take Chase Elliott?
Yes.
He's on the track right now qualifying, but it don't make any difference in Talladega.
Well, that's what I said about Jeremy qualifying 22nd. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's starting in the middle of the mess, but it's you can win from anywhere.
Exactly. And a lot of guys will qualify up front. You know how it used to be. They'd qualify. Some of them would qualify and sit on the darn pole and then just drop to the rear ride.
I always thought Dale Jarrett was big on doing it. He did that a lot, and he'd win Talladega doing that in that brown Ford of his.
It's UPS Ford. What can Brown do for you?
Yeah, well,
they're gonna race the truck. That was always a cool commercial.
Well, and I saw something on there yesterday. I was fooling around, and I saw a clip of the guy stealing the pace car that year. That was crazy. So you don't know what's going to happen.
I was there, and I didn't even really remember that or realize what it had gone on. But nothing coming out of Talladega surprises me, though. Those guys, people down there, man, they're out there, but they're good people.
Well, that's what you get when you build a racetrack on top of an Indian burial ground.
Yeah, that was always that one. Back in the 70s now, when we didn't have any ambulances at all, they would take red tape, and I'm telling the truth when I tell you this, they take red tape on an old white van and put a red cross on the white van to take us to the Enfield Care Center if we got hurt on pit road. And I was there when Randy Owens got hit with that water tank blowing up.
Yeah.
Me and Buddy Parrott couldn't get the back door open. And then Penske's catch can man, Don, got hit by Grant Adcox down there. And we couldn't get him in that van because the doors just wouldn't. The thing sat around all year and nobody ever used it until it was time to use it for an ambulance. And so they would. Doors would be rusted shut and we couldn't get them open.
Unfortunately, I was there for both of those incidents. I wasn't that close to it, but I remember I used to get Greg Moore or Danny Fowler's pit pass, and I would watch the entire race from Victory Lane, and then they'd shoo me off with about 10 laps to go. But I had a great seat, and I remember when Owens got killed and Grant
Adams. Me and Randy and Cecil Gordon, I was working for Cecil then, me and Randy and Cecil Gordon had been out to eat the night before. And, of course, us going out to eat ran a little long, and Randy was just petrified that he was scared that he wasn't going to get back in time for Dale Inman's curfew check. I'll never forget that.
Mm.
Well, so we let him out, and he come to me the next morning just smiling. He said, Mike, I hadn't laid down in that bed 2 minutes, and I heard that door open. I knew it was Dale. He said, I just barely got in time.
Well, me being a big Indy fan, I was pulling real hard for Gary Bettenhausen driving that Matador, and he was having a great day, and that's who Don Miller was gassing up, I guess, when he got hit.
I was the first guy there, but I wasn't the first guy to save him, because Buddy Parrott comes walking down. I looked up, I seen Buddy come walking down pit road pulling his belt off, and he put the tourniquet on him to save his life. I never worn a belt working on race cars. You scratch your race cars up, but
Well, I saw.
I asked Buddy later on. I said, Buddy, where did you? How did you know that? He says, I worked in a glass company before I went racing, and so we had to have all the training what to do because people were constantly getting cut.
Yeah, I saw all the commotion, but I'm glad I wasn't too close. Got to let you go, Mike. I really appreciate it. I got to squeeze in some commercials and do a little wrap up. So I'll be watching everything except the ARCA. And thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you maybe next week.
All right, guys. Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. That's Mike Hill, who might have to tell him. I wish he'd come to Spartanburg during his 10 days off, his vacation.
That would be fun.
That would be. Let's take a break because we're getting close on time. You're listening to Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg.
Spring is here, and so are the savings at Greer Nissan. Deals are in full bloom this month on all your favorite Nissan models, like a new 2023 Sentra or Frontier. Your choice. Lease for only $199 a month, or hit the road in a new Nissan Rogue. Lease for only $299 a month. Low prices, big selection, and committed to quality customer service. Come see us on Wade Hampton Boulevard or shop online 24/7 at GreerNissan.com.
Spartanburg has been known as the hub city for decades due to our proximity to rail lines and interstate highways. Upstate Logistics has been part of the hub city transportation scene for over a decade. Upstate Logistics provides businesses with warehousing and transportation services, including inbound and outbound rail shipments. And more importantly, we support Spartanburg. Be it high school and college sports or important community projects, Upstate Logistics wants to help move Spartanburg forward. Upstate Logistics, keeping your business and Spartanburg moving forward. To find out more, visit upstatelogistics.com.
Speedy Lube in Inman says to save time is to lengthen life for you and your car. Let Speedy Lube, Asheville Highway in Inman, lengthen the life and performance of your vehicle. Speedy Lube offers professional ASC certified mechanical service for your car. Be it an oil change, AC work, tires, brakes, front end, or any type of major or minor repair. Trust Speedy Lube in Inman. Open weekdays from 8 till 6. For fast, fair, and friendly service, visit Speedy Lube, Asheville Highway in Inman.
In working with clients in today's economic and financial environment, Trent Lancaster, financial advisor in Janney's Spartanburg office, uses his extensive skill and experience to help clients understand market trends. Trent holds the accredited wealth management advisor designation. For clients, this means they are working with a top-tier advisor who can help them toward optimizing their financial strategies and minimizing market volatility. These advisors passed comprehensive exams and must follow a code of ethics. This can provide comfort for clients knowing they are working with a trusted advisor. Let Trent help you navigate the financial landscape. To learn more, call 864-585-8282 or visit TrentLancaster.com. Janney Montgomery Scott, LLC. Member FINRA, NYSE, and SIPC.
Need a photo printed from your phone? How about a restoration of an old photo? Prints from old slides or negatives? Spartan Photo Center can do that and more in their on-site custom photo lab. Spartan Photo Center can develop 35mm film and disposable cameras. They can print large size stretch canvas or poster prints in sizes from locket size to 40 by 60 inches. As South Carolina's only full-service camera store, they can help you get those old photos off your phone or out of that old film or digital camera. Spartan Photo Center, call them at 864-583-6835 or visit SpartanPhotoCenter.com today.
Spartanburg's radio home for Gamecock football. Oh, yeah. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM, WSBG Spartanburg.
No matter what mood I'm in, McDonald's has a deal that's here for it. Like right now, I can mix and match two of my favorites for just $3.49. So if I'm feeling a little extra, I get a McDouble with two tasty beef patties. If I'm feeling nostalgic, oh, I go with a classic like a juicy McChicken. And no matter how I'm feeling, a golden crispy small fries always sounds like a good idea. All this food talk is bringing on a new mood. Hungry. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And welcome back to the final segment of Start Your Engines on Fox Sports Spartanburg. Think we can handle 6 minutes and 10 seconds?
I think we can do it.
All right, let's see. Let's get started then. stretch this stuff out, we might time it perfectly, because we usually do.
Well, I'm watching qualifying right now, too.
Well, how's it going? Who's winning?
The last graphic they showed, Austin Dillon.
Austin Dillon. All right. Well, maybe you can wrap that up for us. But let's go to, we just talked a lot of IMSA with Mike Hill. So that race is today at 4:30 on USA and streaming on Peacock. That's the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. And the point stand. Well, I've got the qualifying here. As I said, Pipo Durrani in the Wheeling Cadillac took the pole for the third straight race this year. Second is the Rahal Lanigan Letterman BMW of DeFilippi and Nick Yololi. Third is Ringer van der Zande and Sebastian Bourdais in the yellow Ganassi Cadillac. Third is Nick Tandy and whatever his name is, Jaminet, in one of the Penske Porsches. The other Penske Porsche is next with Dane Cameron and Felipe Nasser. And we can stop it right there, but there are 10 of the GTP cars. And, of course, those are just so highly sophisticated, unbelievable cars, and I love to watch them race. The point standings, the Penske Porsche is first. With 706 points, the Taylor Andretti Acura is second. And third is the Wheeling Cadillac of Tom Blomqvist, who won't be, they won't use him today. Jack Aiken and Pipo Durrani. So that's 4:30 today. Quickly, Indianapolis. They are running the race with the same name as the race today. Tomorrow's the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach again. And that will be at 3:30 on USA and Peacock. And that's for the Indianapolis cars, and this is just their second race of the year after that horrible thing out at the Thermal Club. But Joseph Newgarden's the point leader, Patricio O'Ward is second, Scott McLaughlin third, this is the point standings, fourth, Will Power, fifth, Colton Herta, sixth, Alex Palou, seventh, Felix Rosenquist, eighth, Alexander Rossi, and ninth is Scott Dixon, and tenth is Rinus Vicay. One more, Santino Ferrucci is 11th. That's A.J. Foyt's car. Once again, that's 3:30 tomorrow on USA and Peacock. Formula One, got another one tonight, Ronnie. If you want to sit up, you can't sleep, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, at 2:55, the Chinese Grand Prix comes on.
Somehow I don't see me seeing that.
I'll call you up and remind you.
Oh, okay.
That will be at 2:55 this morning on ESPN, and that's in Shanghai. Of course, the points over there is a little closer than it usually is since Max lost a race, but Verstappen's the point leader. 13 points behind is Sergio Perez, his teammate. Third is Charles Leclerc in the Ferrari. Excuse me. Fourth is Lando Norris in the Arrows McLaren. Is fifth, and sixth is Carlos Piastri. They will, once again, ESPN, Chinese Grand Prix, 2:55 in the morning. And looking at the TV for today, of course, NASCAR qualifying is on right now till 12:30.
And Cindric in the number two just went to the top.
Austin Cindric, okay. He hasn't done anything lately. He won the Daytona 500 and hadn't done diddly. Mm-hmm. IndyCar practice is also on right now on Peacock from Long Beach. At 12:30 is the ARCA race, and that's the General Tire 200. That's on FS1 from 12:30 to 3:00. Then at 2:25 is IndyCar qualifying from Long Beach, and that will be on Peacock. At 3:30 is the Xfinity pre-race, and the race is at 4 o'clock on Fox. Hope for good weather there, and a good race out of Jeremy Clements, hopefully. And at the, almost the same time, at 4:30 on USA and Peacock, is, I just mentioned, IMSA WeatherTech sports car race from Long Beach, and I'm going to be watching both of them. Do the best I can there. Tomorrow, we have the, I just said it, 2:55 this morning, the Chinese Grand Prix on ESPN. And at noon will be the Indy warm-up on Peacock. Then at 3 o'clock, NASCAR, Fox, the Talladega Geico 500 will be run. And at half an hour later, starting on USA and Peacock, will be the IndyCar Grand Prix of Long Beach. So before we go, let me mention Lanny. Didn't forget about you. Thank you for everything you do. That's Lanny McKinney, who maintains the Budmore Engineering website and the maintains our website. He'll have this broadcast on the podcast probably by 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I listen to it every week. Listened to it this past week on Monday. And Lanny texted me and said, have you listened to the podcast? And I said, well, I listened to all but the last 40 minutes of it. So I like hearing them, and I think there's about 250 of them on there now. So that's about it. Had a great guest with Donnie Wingo. We'll get another one for next week. Don't know who yet. But, Ronnie, you be safe, and you have a good week, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Maybe we'll go back to Applebee's one of these days to see Natalie. But this week, Natalie, we're not coming. We'll talk to you soon, though. I want to get back out and see you. Rest of it, keep it between the fences.
You've been listening to Start Your Engines. Tune in each Saturday morning at 10 during the season for the very latest in auto racing news, interviews, and guests from around the sport. To find out more or order Perry Allen Wood's books on motorsports, visit McFarlandBooks.com. Start Your Engines has been a presentation of Fox Sports Spartanburg, LLC. All rights reserved.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon. Fox Sports Spartanburg, 98.3 FM. WSBG Spartanburg.